It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
God has always dealt with man concerning salvation through every dispensation the same way. Man has always been saved by the grace of God, through the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. There has never been another way to heaven other than through Jesus. This way is the only way of salvation, and it was instituted before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 say this, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Well, sad as it may be, man has failed miserably throughout history in taking care of what belongs to God. Even in the dispensation we're about to study, we've had the introduction to that in previous studies, but we're about to study the dispensation of the millennium. Man still fails to take care of God's property in the right and proper way, even during the millennium. Now, the difference between the dispensation of the millennium and the other dispensations is that Christ himself, sitting on the throne of David, will rule with a rod of iron, demanding complete obedience from man. Well, man will still be saved the same way through the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. However, those who exhibit open rebellion to Christ during the millennium will be dealt with immediately by paying with their lives, both physically and spiritually. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20 says this, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." And we look at this subject of dying in the millennium later on in our study. We're going to look at that later. Well, the kingdom will be a time of ideal conditions on the earth. The world will be free from so many of the problems that plague our society today, such as war and crime and disease and poverty. The world will be characterized by righteousness. Perfect government will be enjoyed by all. The nation Israel will finally enjoy the blessings which God has promised long ago. It will be a better world in many ways. Well, please note this, if you would. Only saved people will enter the kingdom, and that is the millennium. When the 1,000-year kingdom begins, only those saved people who have been saved will be allowed to enter the kingdom. These are those people who have come through the tribulation, those people who have trusted Christ during the dispensation of the tribulation. They will go into the millennium. And Jesus will say to these saved people, it says in the Word of God in Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Well, the dispensation of the kingdom, or in other words, a name that is another name of the kingdom, is the millennium. Well, before the millennium begins, and we've looked at this in the dispensation of the tribulation, but let's look at it one more time. The sun will be darkened. The moon will be dark. There will be no light from the sun, so the moon will not shine because the moon is a reflection of the sun. The Bible teaches us that stars will fall. The heavens, the first and second heaven, that is, will be shaken, mixed up. Remember the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven is God's abode. That is not going to fall. That is not going to be changed. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 30 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, Christ will come, there is no doubt. There are many today who wrongly believe that most of the prophecies of the Bible were fulfilled in or around 70 AD with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. Theologically, these people are known as preterists, P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T-S. Well, they look upon prophecy as something that is already fulfilled, not as something that is yet to come. They especially do this when it concerns prophecies pertaining to the second coming of Christ. And let me say that what we read of in the book of Revelation about the millennium, it's real. It's not something that is placed out there just for us to say, well, God is just saying things. He's doing this to just to prove a point or something. No, this is real. This is something that is going to happen. Christ's second coming in his kingdom has not taken place yet. It is yet future. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Well, that Jesus did not come in his kingdom in 70 AD is demonstrated by Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. That puts to rest those people who believe that all of this was fulfilled in or around 70 AD, because the Bible says he is coming. Every eye has not seen him coming in the clouds, and that will happen. If the preterists are right in what they believe, then the words of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 have already been fulfilled. But we know that is not true. Well, before the millennium begins, we see that there is a war, Armageddon. And I use the term war, and we study this as war, but actually there's not going to be much of a conflict, because Jesus will simply open his mouth and destroy. Notice the participants of Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon. Well, the Bible says that all nations will be present. Joel chapter 3, verses 2 and 12 says this, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And then in verse 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. So nations will be participants. Now, he says all nations will be gathered together. The heathen, the unsaved, will be there. Joel chapter 3, verse 11. The first part of that verse says, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Joel chapter 3 and verse 11, and the next part of that verse says, the saints of God. Notice this, Joel 3, verse 11, the last part says, thither calls thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. These mighty ones must be the armies of the saints with Christ in heaven as they come down with him. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is that? That's us. That's the church. That's the people who have trusted Christ right now. We're coming back with him. I've heard some people say, I'm afraid of horses. I just don't know if I'm going to ride a horse. Well, if you don't want to come back with Christ, then stay up in heaven. You know, you'll be there, but you won't be afraid of horses at that time. You'll be coming back. We'll be coming back together with the Lord. Notice this. Not only will the saints come back, when we see that Christ himself Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, who is the Word of God? John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, who's the Word? John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said back then in John chapter 1 and verse 14, this is the same John that God used to pin down Revelation. He says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. People beheld the glory of God back then as Jesus walked this earth. He was made flesh and dwelt among the people as he walked this earth. And John said it was him. He was God. He was Jesus. He's the Savior. Well, not only are the saints and Christ going to be there, but they're also going to be scavenger birds there. Now, God, through an angel, would gather all the scavenger birds of the world, according to the scriptures. He would gather them together to cleanse the land of the carcasses of those wicked, unsaved people of the world, from the least to the elite. Notice in Revelation 19, verse 17 and 18, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat of the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now, it's not talking about the saved people being eaten up by the birds and their carcasses. It's talking about those people who come against Christ at his second coming, as he's coming back to set up the kingdom. Revelation 19:21 says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is the word of God going forth. Jesus Christ is God, and as he comes back with his word, he will destroy those people. And when I say destroy, I remind you once again, their flesh will be destroyed, but their souls will be in hell forever, to be cast into the lake of fire forever. And I pray that you have not gone past the point of realization that you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There comes a time when God says enough is enough. And I pray that you have not gotten to that point. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you need to do that right now. Repentance means to have a change of mind, realizing that you're not so good, that you're good enough to go to heaven on your own, that you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but it goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you need Jesus Christ and receive his free gift by simply saying, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.